Welcome to another episode of, I like to call it Toad's Tunes, but it's also called Toad's Country because we don't play any music, so fuck it. Welcome, Carver Lewis, back to the show.
Thank you.
This is our first time on video with you.
I know. I think the last time we did it was maybe via Skype.
Could have been.
So, or I was going to say, it wasn't.
Zoom call, like Zoom COVID time?
Yeah, I think really? COVID time was the last time, yeah.
Holy shit, you actually played music on that one. I'm going to have to go back and watch that one. I think you did.
I know, it was terrible.
It was not terrible. You need to stop that. Since then, you grew up in a small town in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you say it, because every time I say it, I feel like I say it the wrong way.
Good old Tooele.
Tooele, Utah. Born and raised.
Yeah.
High school, football. Did all kinds of stuff,
yep.
And then music hits.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. What got you started in music?
So when I was 15, for my 15th birthday.
And so you know that was 2 years ago, guys.
Yeah. I wish. My grandma, she sent me a guitar for my 15th birthday. She lives down in Arizona, and she sent it up. And it just came in the mail, and I was like, wasn't expecting it, nothing. And so I was like, oh, man. I better learn it because she spent some money on this thing. So
right,
yeah.
Anybody musically inclined in your family?
Yeah. So actually, both of my grandfathers musically inclined. Both of them were in bands. My dad's dad was a drummer. My mom's dad, he played guitar in a band. A lot of musical juice in there.
So you're really gonna say that guitar just showed up unannounced? Unknowingly, you didn't ask for it, never said you wanted it or anything? Or
I had an interest in guitar when I was probably like 12, and I thought, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do it. Tried it out on like a cheap little Walmart bought guitar.
Right.
Hurt my fingers. I was like, I'm not doing this. And so, I don't know, I think it was a good push, if I do say so.
And a blessing at that point, because now you no longer live in that wonderful small town in Utah.
Nope.
You packed up your shit, and you moved to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yep.
Let's talk about how scary that was.
Oh, gosh. in Utah, I don't know, it felt like I was in a nice little secure bubble. I knew I was able to play shows whenever I wanted. I had a great standing with doing the local thing, with being a full-time musician at a local level, where I was, you know, playing the bars, playing restaurants, and then going out and playing like the bigger shows when I wanted to, and I was making a comfortable income at that. And then trying to make the jump to Nashville, I was just scared because I was like, oh gosh, like I'm not going to know anyone out there. Luckily I had friends in town that I, you know, from visiting over the years, recording, writing. But I'm like, what am I going to do, you know, to be able to get those shows and have that confidence in getting shows and making those connections in order to get more shows that would hopefully pay the bills.
Right. So like everyone does, they move to Nashville and they get a job.
Yes. And that's exactly what I've done.
And you're writing a lot?
Yes. Yes. Writing a lot. Yeah. Last week, I mean, I think we had 3 writes last week.
Yeah.
Trying to pump them out as much as we can.
Are you with John Morgan doing those? Or
no, what? I wish John would write with me.
He hasn't at all?
No. Well, John's so busy. And I mean, he has his group of people that he likes to write with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's funny that you say that. I look up to John, and he doesn't know this. He's going to probably hear this for the first time when he watches this. But I look up to him for his writing, for his attitude towards the business. He had such a sudden onset of bringing, like, not many people jump on tour with Jason Aldean.
Dude, his story is ridiculous.
It's so cool.
When I sat with him at Country Fan Fest, it was one of those things that he did everything backwards.
Yeah.
But good for him.
It's, you know, freaking awesome.
Yeah, his first tour was a stripped down with Aldean, and then his second tour was full band opening up for Aldean.
Yep.
I mean, but his story's neat. I mean, that's one of those guys that gives people hope that can write.
Absolutely.
That like to write.
Yeah.
His story's phenomenal, and his music's good. And, you know, I think one of the things he did say to me was that if he writes something, Aldean was so cool, he said, if it's something you like, just let me know. Mm-hmm. Something you want to keep, just let me know. And they don't really fight over it.
And to me, that's so awesome that like an artist of that stature is that relaxed and isn't, you know, single hungry.
Sure.
And hearing something that could just, because I mean, John has some killer songs that aren't released that I've had the absolute privilege to listen to. And it's just like the songs that he has are just insane.
Yeah.
It's I have one on the top of my head right now that is just insane.
So the idea of that, do you take that music that he might give you to listen to and put that into your way of writing as well? Or
I try to stay away from copying other writers.
I don't mean necessarily that, but maybe like giving you some sort of drive to look at things a little bit different.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's one thing that I like about Nashville in general is you can go out to a writer's round, down the road and hear some random dude who just moved into town, who's playing his first round, and he might have a song that just inspires you.
Sure.
Like just crazy. And I've kind of found myself recently, I didn't do it a whole lot within this last year. I didn't go out to these rounds and I didn't have this inspiration continuously coming in. And I started getting right back into it. And I'm glad I did, because now these writing sessions I'm having are just more ideas are coming to flow.
Right.
It really puts that, I wouldn't say competitiveness, but it all.
It's drive.
It's a drive to want to write more quality songs. So
when, who's like, let's talk about your best experience writing so far in Nashville. One that just keeps you ticking, because you could always pack up your shit and just go back home.
Yeah.
I mean, dad's right over there. He'll take you, I'm sure. But the idea that one experience that just keeps you motivated to stay and keep writing, what is that?
Like a person or
just in anything. I mean, it could just be a place that you wrote or a person you sat with, or just sitting down with Brad Austin telling you to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, pack it up. Get out of here.
That was not a cheap shot, Brad. That's not what that was. I love you, dude.
No, but, you know, like, for instance, there's this one session that we had that I'm really excited because the song's getting ready to come out here soon, by a female artist named Carissa Ella. She is killer. She's been featured on, I want to say, The Highway. I'm not entirely sure. I know she's been on like Cumulus Radio, if I'm not mistaken. Been on CMT, and we wrote a song, me, her, and this other gal named Cassidy, and it was called Last Call Cowboy.
Okay.
And I think for me, I was the only guy in the room, and it's just different. It's a different experience, and we came up with a song that just, I really like it. I was like, man, let's pitch this thing to Lainey Wilson. Like, it's one of those songs where it's like, It's one of those moments that we had when writing that song that it's like, okay, this is why I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get so many of those every so often that it just keeps you wanting to come back for more, I guess.
That's the motivator.
Yep,
in that sense, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. I love to tell the story. I went back for, I don't think it was ACM Honors, but it was one of those, we had the Next to Nashville's and all that kind of stuff. And I was sitting in the room with all these radio people, and a couple of them I've known for years. And they just came up to me like, dude, you going to see Garth Brooks tonight? And I'm like, no, man. What about Zach Brown? I'm like, no. They're like, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to see Austin Jenks over at the Basement East. And they're like, who? And then I said, after that, I'm heading over to the Bluebird Cafe to go see Stephanie Quayle, all females writers thing.
Yep.
And they're like, why? And I'm like, because it's new music. And one of the guys said, well, Garth is going to play new music. And I was like, dude, I'm over it. Like you already know who I am, what I'm all about. But that's what's so cool about it is you find so much new stuff there. And I still, to this day, watch Whiskey Jam online.
I'm
so glad that they stream it. Makes me happy because I, like, dive into that stuff and listen. And
oh, yeah. Now, I think Ward and the Whiskey Jam crew, they've done a phenomenal job at making that round so accessible. And that's one of the coolest rounds. I mean, if you get the, you know, honor to play Whiskey Jam, I mean, look at everyone who's played Whiskey
Everybody
Jam.
Has
Everybody
it.
Has played Whiskey Jam. Yeah. I haven't. What? One day. One
hold
day.
On. Hold on. I know the guy too. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'll be
an advocate. And that'd be one of those things that I would fly out for, 100%.
For Whiskey Jam?
Hell yes. To see you play your first Whiskey Jam?
That is fun.
There is some neat things. I went and saw Stephanie Quayle, Sam Groh, Tony Jackson, all their Opry debuts. Yeah. I'll be there for yours too.
Fingers crossed.
It'll happen, dude.
We'll see. We'll see.
I think you have it in you, man. There's no reason why you wouldn't.
We're going to try. All we can do.
Do. Yes. I like do. It. You're going to do. That's what I've changed my whole motto to as well. It's I'm not trying anymore. I'm doing.
Just doing.
Just doing.
I freaking love that.
Yeah. If you do fail, you just keep doing it.
Yep.
That's kind of the attitude.
I love that. That's good.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm going to have to put that in now.
Why wouldn't you? That's my mindset.
I was like, usually it's just like those, you know, self what is it, affirmations? Yep. That it's like, I'm going to do better at this. I'm going to do better at that. I like
gonna,
that.
I'm just going to do it.
Just going to do the dang thing.
No more trying. You got to do. Let's talk Country Fan Fest, man. Yep. So like, you're at home when you play this show. Let's talk about the first time you played there compared to the last time you played there.
Oh man, big difference.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah, the first time we played there, man, I think I was 19 years old.
Right.
Opened up the festival on the first day. I think we were the second band to play. We were the second band to play. And it was, I want to say it was like a Thursday, and it was probably, you know, the 6:30 hour. Nothing too crazy.
Right.
A lot smaller of a crowd. Played majority cover songs because our material was just barely starting to come out, but we were able to mix it in enough where it was like original cover, you know, for the 30-minute set that we had. And it was a learning experience, you know what I mean? But that was the one thing where it's like we were so excited to play, and when I announced it to my, you know, my town that it's held in, I had so many friends who showed up and were there for that debut. And it was a really cool experience, and one that I wouldn't give back for anything in the world, because of it, I've been able to, you know, fortunate enough that Hal and Bracken have liked me enough to let me come back and eventually do their after party shows, which this right. last year, now fast forward to this year or this past year, man, it was slammed.
That's the first year I haven't gone in a long time.
Oh, it was slammed.
Well, dude, the year prior was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
That, totally ridiculous.
That year was crazy. We had some people up front that, I mean, we have photos of it online. Some dude's got a shirt off on top of another guy, like just screaming, hooping, and hollering beach balls all over.
That is that party environment and atmosphere, which was, I thought was super cool. Getting to watch that from the side of the stage and just looking out. I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. And I think we had you in the huddle too, right? Yes. Right before we went out.
And the kiddo.
The kiddo.
Something that still gets talked about here and there, man.
Oh, that's so fun.
Speaking of the kiddo, let's have some fun with something.
I like it.
Super Bowl's this weekend, mm-hmm. So we're ahead of the game.
Yes.
Who you got?
I'm
going to fuck you up.
Oh, man. Well, it's hard because
you pick, dude.
Honestly, I'm not a fan of either. I'm a Denver Broncos fan.
Why?
And I've been with them through the highs and lows, all right? But I will say, my dad's a Chiefs fan. And
That
guy right over there.
How's he getting back to the hotel?
obviously not your car. And I know you're an Eagles fan. I feel like the Chiefs have had a lot of wins. And so I think it's time for the Eagles to take one home.
I think it would be nice.
I'll throw it in there. Sorry, Dad.
Is that really what you believe? You really think the Eagles are going to win?
Yeah. They've been playing really well in this postseason.
Yeah.
I think they...
Unlike last year.
Yes, unlike last year. But no, I really think that I think they're going to pull it off this year.
I hope so, man. I was watching the news this morning, and they were saying that 80% of the country wants the Eagles to win. And I was like, that's pretty... That's a Mahomes thing.
It's reasonable, you know. It's reasonable.
So Rock, he should probably start walking back to the hotel right now. He might be flipping me off. That's pretty funny. Are you pretty much into sports a lot? I mean, I know you played football in high school and stuff.
Yep. I mean, you know, growing up, we did football, wrestling, track, baseball. Tried to do it as much as we could. But it's so funny. I was talking to some of my friends back home about this when I was home for the holidays. Because they all have their fantasy teams, you know, they have their rosters that they do. They're always up to snuff with who's injured, who's not, whether it's college, NFL, whatever,
sure.
As far as football goes. And I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
It's so wild because I grew up in that environment, so engulfed in it that's what I wanted to do. I just love sports, and now that music's happened. Now I'm like, okay, whose song is number one this week?
Right.
Total. It's so weird.
Well, I think you have to get involved in what you're doing. You're a product of your environment.
Absolutely.
I'm a true believer in that as well. I think I've done fantasy football twice, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just do it thinking it'd be some camaraderie with the boys, and I hate it.
I've only done one fantasy league.
Yeah.
And that was Supercross last year in your group.
Yeah, well, that's different. Yeah. Supercross I'll do every single year.
And I feel bad because I didn't sign up this year.
Yeah.
And I have the account and everything. I'm so sorry.
That's a dopey. Dude, I would have kicked your ass. There's like 23 people in there. Did you? You probably beat me last year.
I did.
Too.
I think I came in like ninth or something last year. But I was leading the pack for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I was like number one.
Are you watching this year at all?
Here and there. Not. I think I watch Anaheim and that's it.
Yeah. Jet Lawrence just got ACL done. He's done for the rest of the
really?
Year. Yep. Last weekend. Maine, maybe the first corner. Put his leg down and done.
And just snipped it.
Yeah.
Oof.
He said he felt a little shock. Went to MRI on Monday and he's done for 4 months.
Did he race the rest of the race?
No.
Oh, as
literally
you say,
first corner of leg down, rode right off.
Boot caught the dirt.
Yeah.
Kicked it up.
And you just see it.
Yep.
Totally. Oh, scary.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
My buddy Cabot the other day I told him I was going to ride my mountain bike. And he's like, dude, you should get back on your dirt bike. And I'm like, man, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. And then the following week, what happens? Jet gets hurt. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I don't ride my dirt bike anymore. Because I can't afford to get hurt.
I was going
to
say, not unless you're wearing $1,000 knee braces.
I have them. Carbon. Yeah. I'm still scared.
It's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, I got goals, you know, I got things I got to do.
You got to be on the move.
Yeah, not on the mend, on the move. That's going to be a new T-shirt.
I like that.
Not on the mend,
on the move.
Okay, let's go back to Nashville again. So you get settled. Is there a place you like to hang out and go like find new music or go listen to that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's funny because I've started going to the smaller rounds. Like you could go to the Whiskey Jam, you could go to the local and do like the Porchlight Picker rounds.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of, you know, you'll see some really good names that are coming up. Man, I went to this one round called the Get Up, which is in this tiny little thing called Fat Bites.
Okay.
And it's right over by my house and it's super, super raw young talent coming up and just writing songs and singing songs. And it's probably it.
Have you played that one?
I have.
Right on.
I when they reached out, I was like, absolutely, I'll play this round. Just because, I mean, it's right next to my house.
Sure.
And because it's just like, so, it's so underground, and I love it. And I feel like I've started to like those rounds a lot more. Like Nashville Tour Stop was another one that we played. When I say we, I mean me and McKinley were both on the same round, my guitar player.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. So McKinley was on it originally, and then I saw they made a post that they had a cancellation, and I was like,
I'm in.
Yeah, I reached out, and I was like, hey, you need someone to fill the spot? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, perfect. Because then it gave me a chance to go, support my friend.
Sure.
And then play the round at the same time while also listening to some other artists that I'd never heard.
How many songs do you get when you do that?
It just depends if there's three or four people in the round. A lot of times it's like 3 to 5 songs, depending on.
You by yourself, or is everyone sitting up there and they just go?
Oh yeah,
in line.
In line, yeah.
That's so awesome.
I love them because you meet, like that's how I met so many of my friends now that I write with, like Carissa Ella.
Right. I'm gonna have to look her up.
Oh, she's great. Emily Ortego is another one that I've met doing that. Yeah, it's just killer how the connections that you can make doing those rounds, especially just when you're sitting next to a stranger for an hour,
and you just. Yeah, you might find something a little bit different, I would think.
Yeah.
That's freaking cool.
No, as a songwriter in the songwriting community, I love it. I know a lot of other writers enjoy it because it gives them a platform to go out and play their original music. Because, I mean, you know Nashville. You have the Broadway scene. It's covers. And then maybe one or two originals slipped in here and there. But those writer rounds, they're all you know.
Have you found yourself being maybe like dragged down to Broadway or anything like that?
Only when friends come in.
Sure.
And then when I want to play a Broadway gig.
Do you play down there?
I have, but I only do the acoustic gigs.
Right.
Just because I don't want to play for 4 hours. That's tough.
There
is tough.
Something crazy is I didn't realize this, but like I know that Al Dean's just opened here. I went there the other day and met with Jar. Who's the entertainment. Mm-hmm. He books all the talent there.
Nice.
And Phil, the GM there, he's an old buddy of mine. And they're doing the same thing there. It's 4 hours.
That's crazy.
And to me, it's just, it's crazy because I don't know how long that will last here.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, that's a tough one. That's a long time.
It is. I mean, for anyone, even if you're flying, like I have some friends who play the Losers here in Vegas and you know, they fly in from Nashville. They're bringing Nashville guys out here. And so they're used to doing the 4-hour rounds, but I don't know. I've always been a big advocate for not just for me, but for other artists. Like when people who I know have reached out to me and asked like my opinions on set lengths, I've always been a guy.
I'm 60 to 75. Yeah,
that's the dream right there. Like yeah. Obviously, like for the starting out guys, my biggest thing, and I've had this for years, and you can ask anyone in my team, we have never played a show in the last probably 7 years that's been over 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Because I've seen so many folks. I mean, I could go off a list of vocalists who have
had burned out.
Burned out, vocal injuries.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sound like a rust box when I'm, you know, 55.
Right. Hey, leave that number alone.
Is that how old you are?
I am.
Wow, I'm good.
That's dead on.
You don't sound like a rust box.
No. I mean, I did earlier when I dropped. I went to Santa Jam this year, 95.5. Did it here in town. Chase, one of the guys that works in Riley Green's camp,
oh, yeah,
hit me up. And so I went, and there was a round there. They started off, it was Cassie Ashton, Zach Top, Tucker Wetmore.
Nice.
Dude, I'd never seen Tucker play before. I've heard all the hype of Zach, and now I get it.
Yeah.
It was like one of those things, you get to see him raw. And Cassie Ashton, oh my goodness, love that woman.
Dude, Zach Top on an acoustic and himself.
Yes. Riley brought him back out during his show, and they were messing with him just to see how country he was. And they started singing these songs, and Zach's like, bring it. Let's go. Like, he kept singing everything.
And I love the fact that he's from Washington.
Yeah. You would never freaking, like, he is as country gets,
yeah,
which is cool. Cassie came out and sang the, I forgot the name of the song. It's Riley's number one with Ella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You Look Like You Love Me.
Yeah. Cassie came out with her phone. Like, I was backstage watching her, and she came up to me, and she's like, I'm still trying to figure this one out.
She
didn't even
it?
Know. She went out and sang Ella's part, which was rad.
That's awesome.
Super neat to see. But I go back to that writer's thing is, like, when they go one at a time, you learn so much about somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the only environment where I want to hear an artist talk. Other than that, sing.
Yeah.
You know, but it was pretty neat to hear where the songs came from. And Cassie played a bunch of her new stuff that just crushed, and I think she gained a lot of new fans. Tucker, I think everyone knew his single.
Yep.
But then got to see another side of him. And then Zach, everything he sang, everyone in the room sang his songs.
Sang right along with it.
Which is just crazy to me that he's just getting radio play with his first single.
Yep.
I Never Lied, I think it's called.
Yep.
And then you look at everybody singing everything, knowing that this social world is such a huge, huge tool for people to use.
It is.
Stuff like this. Like, it's neat that people will get to know who you are a little bit better in regards to where you came from, what you're doing today. Speaking of that, you said you're writing and recording some stuff. Like, when do we get some new stuff out
for you? Oh, yeah. I know. I know. I've only been releasing, like, one single a year, and it's been my fault. It's been my fault.
It's not like you got a label telling you no.
I know. So, actually, I'm glad you brought this up because, me and my buddy Drew, he plays bass. He's going to be playing bass for me on this run. And so he's a producer as well back in Nashville. And me and him talked about it. And I told him, I said, you know, because everyone does all these big full production songs. And for independent artists who are funding it out of their own pocket, it's expensive.
Sure.
And so I'm taking a Muscadine Bloodline approach. And we're going to do acoustic EP and then push full blown production singles based off of those songs.
The response.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought it would be something different for me, because I've never really done that. And I think it'd just be a tool to gauge to see, you know, where we should actually push.
You kind of think of that in a sense as a low cost of entry.
Yep.
You get free results.
Exactly. Yeah.
Literally, you find out what people are like leaning towards and liking. Muscadine. I was doing a show with them in 2020. So bummed the shit hit the fan in 2020 because I never got to see him. But I met the guy that owns Boots in the Park, shot the poop with him a couple times. And I want to say they might be on one of their shows. Maybe not. Maybe now that I'm thinking about it, maybe not. But I definitely want to go somewhere and go see them.
I was like, going to say.
That's a band I want to see pretty bad.
That's a band that if they're at Red Rocks, I'd fly to Denver to go see.
Dude, yes, we would. And flying into Denver sucks, too.
And you know, not as bad as Vegas.
Not today.
Not today. Yeah, today's windy as all get out. But you know what? I just slipped my mind.
Red Rocks, Muscadine.
I can't even remember.
Good talk, Russ.
Jay, I'm out of here.
Dude, okay, so.
It's been an early morning, okay? We've been up since 3 a.m.
It'll come back to you.
Yes, it will.
How many songs do you have ready to record this acoustic stuff with and put out? And how fast are you going to put that stuff out?
So actually, as soon as we get back to Nashville, we're starting to record.
Okay.
I'm not going to say hopefully.
It's
going to be out by May.
Beautiful.
Yep.
How many?
At least four.
Nice.
At least four for now. Possibly five. And then a full production single. I always like doing the summer singles. They're always fun, especially my style. I mean, everyone knows me as the rock gut beer guy.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, I would never know with your beer hat on, but go ahead. We got to work on the whiskey. I know.
But, that's just, I like producing singles that are fun, that are upbeat. But these songs that are going to be coming out on this EP are going to be a different side of my writing. They're going to be a lot more serious. They're going to be, I don't know, your more somber kind of style songs.
Right.
Life intuitive, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it.
So when these come out, like, how much time are you going to give yourself to see the results of how people consume your music before you go back in and record them full?
Yeah. So what I think, I feel like we already have the song that we're going to do full production with, at least for the first half of the year. We'll probably do one or two this year.
You record that whole thing at Drew's house, full production, or do you go somewhere
No,
else?
No. For the full production song, we'll probably go into a studio to do. But it's actually funny because with the acoustic album, the house that I'm in right now, the back half was renovated to be a portion of a studio.
Oh, nice.
Before I moved in. And so it already has some nice sound isolation. So we're actually recording everything in my house. So you're getting like 100%. It's me. It's raw. It's you're getting my roots of Nashville
right
into these songs.
I want to say that Whiskey on You, Nate Smith, recorded part of that single in his kitchen or somewhere in his house. They went to re-record it.
It was the vocals.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
They couldn't match it. So they just used what he used there.
Yeah.
So that's a win.
That's so crazy. I was going to say, you never know. Like something like that could take place where it's like, it's just so, I don't know. It's so in the moment that, you know, you can't duplicate it.
Yeah. I want to say that Renee Blair did something similar. Her husband was writing with Hardy a song and she walked through the kitchen and she was humming some things in there and they ended up using it in the song, which is,
that's where
music comes from, man. Yeah. I don't care what people say. That's just where music comes from. If it's that raw and it hits that way. I know there's some old Aerosmith songs where they've got stuff in there that after you hear about it or read about it online, you go back and listen to the song, you go, oh, shit, that is in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the silliest stuff in the world, and you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Nashville and stuff like that, are you still on the hunt for management and anything like that? Or, like, what's your goal?
That's a good question.
I'm kind of focused on lunch right now. Yeah, but
No. Honestly, my goal in this, I feel like this has always been my goal since the beginning, is to just play shows and have fun.
Yeah.
Where it goes from here, as far as business-wise goes, let it be.
Yeah.
I'm to the point where, like as far as having like tour managers and management, I mean, it'd be great. It'd be great to get to that next level and that next step. You know, if someone wants to come in and has as much faith in me as I have in myself,
yep,
and as much faith that my guys around me have in me, then absolutely, I'd 100% to love them, you know, have them be a part of the team. But for right now, I mean, I'm cooking just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't compare myself to anyone else as far as the levels of whatever people are at, because I loved it. I actually, since we were talking about, you know, John and his team earlier, his tour manager, Dave, told me something when we were, so we play this festival. John played on the main stage in a VIP session. And then I played a VIP session as well. John left their laptop there. And so we had already got back to where we were staying that night. And so me and Dave, his tour manager, drove the car back in to get this laptop. But anyways, that I had to pull this back just to say this, me and Dave got to talking and it was really, really cool. Cause I told Dave, I said, you know, I love being able to do these runs with you guys. Cause I'm able to see how you guys do things and I learn new things.
Absolutely.
But it made me feel really good because Dave said the same thing back. He said, he's like, no, man, we also learn from you and how you do things. And to me, I'm like, you know, that I'm not going to toot my horn or anything or toot their horn in any way. But that's what I love about the music community is you can be at, you know, John's level where he has radio singles, has cuts from Al Dean, Carrie Underwood. You know what I mean? You can be at that level and you can be at my level where I'm just getting my very first cut, yeah. You know, and I'm considered what I would consider just barely breaking into the national touring level. And I can learn from him and he can learn from me. And guys like that can coexist. And, you know, like the other day I was hanging out with his guitar player / photographer, Nate, and just shooting it. And I love it. I love Nashville for that exact reason.
And I think that I've learned through my history of doing what I've done is these people are human.
Yeah.
They're no different. You're no different than me.
Yep.
We both wake up, do the same thing every day. Some of us watch Supercross. Some of us don't. But I mean, I look at stuff and I look at the relationships that I've gained from this industry just by being a regular person. And I think that when you look at John Morgan in a sense of, I think you might have a little bit more road experience than he has in live music shows. Just, only because of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say just because of the years as
yep.
far.
Yep, in that sense. But do you look at the other side of it? Is like I think I said something to John about like, what more could you ask for to go on a road with a guy that's so established to teach
yeah.
you and to hone you? And, you know, John Mark said something to me a long time ago. And, you know, I had this big problem with mentally with bands that played on Broadway. And then they would come play at a venue that I worked at. And it's like there's two different sets of bands in Nashville. There's the Broadway bands and then there's the bands that are trying to make it. And John put me in my place and he was like, dude, you have to think of it like this. Those bands that play Broadway are honing their craft and they're learning a crowd, whether they're playing for 5 people or 500 people. It gives them that opportunity. It gains an audience.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you look at like the Scotty Mac band, like those guys.
Well, I love Scotty Mac.
Dude.
Man, word up to Scotty. Love you, brother.
They are crushing it at
yeah.
All Red. And you watch their socials and they're doing merch stuff. And like whenever he comes to town, we get together and go have like lunch and stuff like that. You get to hear the stories of where he's at. And it's just like so cool to see that there's a guy that moved from California to Nashville.
Yeah. And what's really cool is actually I remember that interview with you and John.
Yeah.
And one thing that he said too, which I give it up because like what you're saying with Scotty is they have a rotunda door of yeah. new audience coming in every single day, especially every, 2 hours?
Yeah.
The new people, new faces. It's a grind, though. I give it up to guys on Broadway.
Yeah, they're nuts. that is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's tough.
You think about what's worse, playing Broadway for 4 hours, right? Or getting in a van and driving across the country and being tired off your ass and eating at 7-Eleven.
It's give or take. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure. What would you take? The road?
I'd take the road.
All day?
All day.
Right now. Like if someone came up to you and said, I'm going to give you 16 dates over 4 weeks, you're gone. You'd pack it up and go?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So you do want to get out there and play live shit.
Damn right.
So that's the neat part. So in Nashville, have you come across people that book that see you in that perspective or not yet?
No, not yet. I have not made those connections yet. And it's so weird because when I first moved to Nashville, I told myself this, and I actually told my family this too. I said, I want to move to Nashville to become a better writer. I want to move there to be a writer in a sense. And that's what I feel like I'm just barely starting to break ground on as far as getting into the writing community, getting into the right rooms to write with the right people.
Yeah.
And that's always, that was my initial first goal coming out of it. And I was like talking, I was like, you know, I want a pub deal. And then I was like, maybe I don't want a pub deal. You know what I mean? And so now it's like, as far as, sorry, I'm losing myself now. Gosh. What
total brain fart,
dude. I'm telling you, I'm wiped right now. But anyways, getting on the road, 100%. Getting on the road,
you just said you haven't found those people.
Oh yeah, yes, yeah. Haven't found those people. Yeah, I have management booking. Yes,
yeah.
Haven't found those people yet because I feel like I'm too into the writing aspect to try and find those people.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
No,
I don't think so.
But I have had to work with the people who do that for other artists though.
Yeah.
You know, who book you know, their booking agents. I've helped along a couple artists with some stuff, get different shows here and there.
I've learned with this country music community, the neatest part for me is that y'all champion each other. I say this all the time. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And I've opened some doors for some drummers, some guitar players, like booking people. Like, it's super fun because I've met a lot of people in my career, which is super neat. When I just sat down with Jared, the guy that books Aldean's and books like nine different places, we sat down. I'm like, look, I'm like, fuck, I know you, dude. He's like, yeah, I used to play guitar in Jay Allen's band. I was like, dude, we opened up our phone and realized that we text back and forth before. But that's what's so neat about this community is nobody's, I mean, there are some assholes, but the majority of them aren't assholes.
It's very slim to none.
Yeah. And they all champion each other, which is, I love to say the same thing, that you release a single, you'll find out these people that champion you as a person or as a musician or as a writer or whatever, they just share your stuff.
Yep.
And I just think that's the neatest thing in the world. I still love doing that. I don't do it as much as I used to before, but like I'm probably about four singles behind on Sam Groh stuff, like when he puts stuff out there, but I'm normally on top of that, but I've just been a different mindset lately.
I was going to say, like you were saying, you know, you get to doing your thing and other things kind of dwindle back a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're out of them.
No, I will say this. I'm not done with music.
No,
I'm not done with music. I don't think I'll ever be done. My mom says it all the time. It's what you were born for.
Agree. Yeah. I 100% agree. I mean, you brought me into, you know, down into different venues and you've helped my career. You've helped, man, I could say a big name right now that I know.
There's a plethora of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gonna say, Russell Dickerson's of the world.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Let's have some fun with that. So I left in May. About 2 weeks after that, Russell played at Red Rocks. I went to Red Rock and I went to go pick up my tickets. And the entertainment director, Candace, says, dude, you were on everybody's list. I was like, well, I that wasn't because of me. Like, I just asked one person sort of thing. And didn't even know Tyler Rich was playing that night. He was opening for Russell. But when I saw Russell, it was like, holy shit, dude. Because I haven't seen him since 2017.
Yeah.
And now we're talking 2024. Like, it had been a while. And it was super neat. He got up on stage, said some stuff. Didn't necessarily call me out. Well, then he came back like 3 months later, 4 months later, and played down on Fremont Street. My phone, I went to bed, get up the next morning, and my phone was blowing up. And they're like, dude, Russell's on stage right now saying that he would be nothing in Vegas if it wasn't for Toad.
That's so
and
cool.
I was like, dude, I wasn't even there. That was fucking rad.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff is why we do what we do. It's the little things in life like that. But then you go back and you look at, I wanted to share this with you, Stephen Barker Lyles from Love and Theft.
Yep.
I picked him up. He was here during NFR and we went to dinner and he started telling me he started writing a Christian album.
Oh, nice.
I was like, but I mean, if you think about, Whiskey on My Breath, like that song's all about him meeting Jesus. And the only thing he's scared of is Jesus smelling the whiskey on his breath. I was like, dude, that's such a creative tune. But then he sends me a whole album of stuff, and I'm blown away. There's got one song in there called Amen that's just ridiculous. Like, for me, knowing him, seeing who he is and what he's been through and where he's at today. But that's the kind of stuff that, like, this artist relationship stuff of, they're still your friends.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do anything for him. I just went out and saw him play a show. I told him I was only going to ask, like, 3 or 4 songs because then I wanted to go see Lane Smith, and then I wanted to go see Chancey Williams.
Yeah.
I stayed for Love and Theft's whole show because it was
the entire time.
It was just so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In a small room, not a lot of people. It was just pretty neat. Neat to be a part of. And
was that this year?
This year.
That's so cool.
I was literally sitting on the couch a week before NFR, no plans to do anything, and my phone just went nuts.
Just
the coolest thing in the world.
Everyone's like, hey, come on out.
Be good to see you. Be good to see you. Be good to see you.
I know there's a lot of people in town. I was like,
everybody.
Yeah. I was like, I know, man, Chancey Williams, Travis Denning.
Yeah.
Love and Theft. There was a plethora of people in town.
I ran into Chancey at Aldean's. It was their friends and family opening at Aldean's. Nice. Got invited out. So I went out there. Ray Lynn was there. Jamise was there from the industry. Chancey was there. I got to shoot the shit with him. And it was funny. People were walking up to me and they're like, am I seeing a ghost? Because I don't go out. I don't do anything. Like, people used to know where to find me.
Are you talking like people from Vegas?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because I was in Nashville all the time before.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time there. But it was just really neat to get out and just see these people. And, you know, Chancey is such a neat dude. I love the way he writes. I love the way he carries himself. It was neat to see Ray Lynn. I haven't seen her in a while. But just this industry is nuts. Like getting out into going, like, well, I was backstage at the Santa Jam and some guy came up to me. He's like, dude, I know you. And I told him what my name was. He goes, that's right, because he was with Travis Denning back when the two of them played during ACMs.
That's so cool.
I was like, holy shit, dude, that was like 2017.
And he, just years ago.
Yes, and it was so neat that he's a big promoter in the Southeast.
Nice.
Forgot his name. It's in my phone, but just really neat to see. And like, this industry is just all about that. Everyone lives, they remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not hard to forget you when your merch is running around Nashville. It was funny. We were on the flight today, and Ashley, my drummer, she's like, you know, I've really started to see Toad's brand a lot.
That Famous Enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, everywhere I've went, like for the past couple of times, I've seen at least one person wearing it. Yeah, I was like, yeah.
It's pretty neat. I like getting pictures from Nashville. There's a guy, Jake, that plays bass. A lot on Broadway. And he was actually here for Morgan's show.
Nice.
And I didn't go the first night. I went the second night. And I got pictures sent to me of him with other people sending the pictures. I was like, this is fucking cool as shit. Totally cool. Speaking of that Morgan show, I think Ella Langley was on that show. She might have opened it. The Nate, Bailey, and Morgan at Allegiant football stadium.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Huge show.
Yeah.
It was neat. Totally cool, right? The next night I go see Coe Wetzel over at Virgin. Dude, if you haven't seen Coe Wetzel live, go
see. Killer?
Oh, hell yes.
I've heard he puts on a great show.
Hell of a show. A little bit different.
Texas guy, right?
Texas country, yeah. He's got a little Southern to him, but I had never heard one of his singles called Sweet Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard it was live. I was like, holy shit.
That's awesome.
My buddy Rich from Hilton Grand Vacations, he's like, dude, you want to go see Coe Wetzel? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I'll get us some tickets. I'm like, no, let me see what I can do. We ended up in a suite, just me and him.
Nice.
It was like a 20-person suite. It's just me and him sitting there watching Coe Wetzel. It was like the coolest thing in the world. Like, that's the way I want to watch music all the time. Give me a couch, one of my buddies, and call it a day. But yes, if you ever get a chance to go see Coe, go.
All right.
I know that Coe's going out with Morgan this year.
Yep.
On a couple stops, and my buddy Matt works with the Morgan team. Matt, I'm just letting you know right now, I'm going to hit you up for one of those shows, but I will fly somewhere to go see Coe on a stage like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty neat.
All right. Now you got me sold.
We'll listen to Sweet Dreams.
I'm coming to listen to you, man.
You should. Who are some of your artists that you love to listen to right now? Like mainstream. Man. Let's talk mainstream. I don't want to talk new people. Let's talk mainstream, and then we'll go to new
mainstream
people.
Mainstream artists right now?
It's John Morgan.
No. I'm so sorry, John. I actually don't listen to you that much. Not as much as I used to. I used to listen to John. I wore out his Coldest Beer in Town song for sure. Like in the country music scene or just in general?
Yes. Well, let's do a little bit of both.
Okay. So, I mean, in the country music scene, Zach Top, Gracie, she loves Zach Top.
Yep.
So I got to listen to Zach Top.
What do you think the affinity is with him?
Like long run?
Yeah. No. I just like, why are people so obsessed with him so fast?
I think it's because he's bringing back, like, not bringing back, but I mean, because Midland brought back a traditional style.
Yeah.
I feel like he just has that nostalgic sound that, I don't know, it takes you back in a sense.
And he's so young.
Oh, yeah. And it makes you feel like you're listening to Keith Whitley. Like, when I first heard him, that's who I thought of. I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like Keith Whitley.
Right.
And I was like, man, it just brought me back. You know what I mean? To some of, you know, like Miami and stuff like that. I'm trying to think. He has a song. There's a man. Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't know the name.
I'm trying to remember, but listening, that was the first song I heard from him. And I was like, yeah, this is nostalgic as all. I'll get out.
He's super. All right. Who else are you listening to?
Let's see. So we got Zach T. I always listen to Sam Hunt. I've always listened to Sam Hunt. He's one of the reasons why I just love country music as it is.
I think we might have had this conversation before, but what's his acoustic, Behind the Pines?
Behind the Pines.
Dude, I did not like Sam Hunt until I listened to that album. Yeah. I was driving to California the first time. I listened to it front to back, and I was like, holy shit. There's like four number ones on there.
Yeah. So that's another album that is kind of like a thing, the reason why we're doing acoustic EPs is because of Behind the Pines. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that was that simple song, Vacation.
Yeah.
Super simple, but it sticks.
Exactly. Right. Let's see. Ernest. Love Ernest.
Yep.
I was a big fan of his like original, like, what is it? Sugar. That whole album that was on. And then Hardy. Love Hardy.
Yeah.
I like the metal drops into country music.
It's so funny that after he played Country Fan Fest last year, I was reading and might have heard that that was the worst feedback they've ever gotten at Country Fan Fest.
Oh, man.
Because it wasn't country.
Well, and I don't know if you noticed, but it was a select age group of people that were cussing him out.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
we watched that show together. And every single time something insane happened, I looked over at you. You look back at me and we're just like, yeah,
this is badass.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, because, I mean, the musicianship that they had and the show that they put on, I was like, this is a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Hardy's show is just insane.
Funny story with that whole show. Sparky and Ray brought their friend Jamie, mm-hmm. and she wanted to see Hardy from the side of the stage. So I went to go to the back, and Hal was standing at the gate, and he was like, "Bro, they shut the stage down." And then he goes, "Wait a minute, what pass do you have?" And I showed him my pass. He goes, "Fucking, of course you do." So we went up on stage, saw the show there for a few. Crazy. The only thing I didn't like about their show is they're all direct input.
Oh,
there
all
is
DI?
zero stage sound other than the drummer.
Oh man, you're gonna hate us then.
No, I mean, for a show like that, when you go stand on the back, it's kind of like one of those things where I was just like, man, this is. Well, I wanted to feel it.
Well, it's funny too. Actually, it's funny that you say that, because I mean, when we play FanFest, we at least have 2 live amps.
Yeah,
I mean, because when we're doing a big stage, yeah, we bring live. But like when we're doing our club runs, everything's typically DI, just because it's so much easier to travel with. But like, yeah, for FanFest, when you guys were there, we had, I think McKinley had his stack, a full stack.
It was loud. That's what it's supposed
to
be. Yeah,
it was dimed, and that's what it's supposed to be. No, I get exactly what you're saying, especially for this type of music that he was playing.
Yes, and Crushed. I have a video on my phone. I'm standing on the side, and I film him, and he's on that little runway behind the drummer, and he's singing. You can't hear shit. All you can hear is the drummer. I was like, man, I just wish I would have. I don't know. It was cool. You know, the experience was rad.
Yeah.
But the other side of it was just like, you want to be able to consume music no matter where you're standing in that sense. But I understand why they do it.
No, for sure. Yeah. And it's funny because I think when we were at Red West Fest this last year, it was me, John, Nate, and I want to say Dave, his tour manager, or no, Joey, his guitar player. We were all standing side stage for Ernest. And I love the fact that Ernest has a steel guitar player that I can't remember his name, but this kid is insane. He does steel guitar, switches over midway through a song, plays electric, and then switches back to steel. But his amp was live, and man.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was so cool just hearing that thing scream, especially the steel.
First instrument I ever had was steel guitar.
Really?
Yep. First one.
Hardest. Lap steel or pedal steel?
Lap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy was playing pedal.
No.
I was like, whoa.
I mean, there's too many things going on. I mean, I can play the drums a little bit. I mean, when that's all 4 going, that's kind of weird. But, like, I just farted around. I don't remember where I got it or how I got it, who gave it to me. But I had it. I think I was only 11, 12 years old.
That's cool.
And I would fart around on it. I mean, it didn't last very long.
Get the
with
little
it.
Slide, yeah.
Yeah, I had the slide on it and everything. Little pick. Like, I would put those things on
the
my
little,
fingers.
The little metal picks.
Yeah, I probably should go back to doing that again, right? Probably a little bit easier than playing the guitar. Damn. Outside of country, what do you listen to?
Oh, yeah, Band Camino. Big fan of those guys, and they're living in Nashville. I've seen at Jack Brown's Burgers
really?
A couple times. Yeah, good dudes, by the way. Man, I'm trying to think. 1975, I like that
chocolate.
Yeah, dude, killer. We went and saw them in Charlotte. Got to give a shout out to my sister. Thank you for hooking that up. Gosh, I'm trying to think. So Band Camino, 1975. Black Keys. I've always liked the Black Keys. And then Kings of Leon.
Oh, yeah.
Those are
their story's great, too.
Oh, yeah. I was like, those 4 bands are, I would say, my sort of go-to outside of country music.
I think I loved Kings of Leon until Sex on Fire came out.
Because it just shot them up to fame?
I loved them before that, man.
Super Soaker was a killer album.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think their musical style, I just, stuff that I've read about them in little interviews and things that they've done, how they were just, no one knew how to play any instruments, called the cousin and said, hey, you're coming to play drums or bass or whatever. And he was like, I don't know how to play. He's like, sweet, we don't either. And they, now look at them. They're on top of the world doing whatever they want to do.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that you don't get to see Matt the Dick tonight. I don't know if you remember Matt from your first show, Sound Guy, or.
Yes.
Yes. He's in town. He's in town, but he doesn't go in and do too many shows anymore. I'll be with him Sunday for the Super Bowl.
Nice.
But, yeah, he's still on the road with the Killers, doing all that stuff still.
That's awesome.
Like, unreal.
And Killers, I mean, talk about a kick-ass band with another great story.
Interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have my plaque at home for helping them get their gig,
yep.
get their thing. But like, I just sit back and go, I don't get how they got so big so fast.
Yeah.
I really don't. But that goes back to everything.
I was going to say, well, I mean, we could talk about a lot of people who get big quick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things I did talk to Craig Campbell about was, I don't know, did you see his TikTok thing you put out about the industry? Did you catch any of that about the people that get TikTok famous
and then they get record deals? Man. Yeah, that was a couple months ago where he's like, I was talking to a record deal a record friend of mine. Yeah, we got this new guy off TikTok. No, he doesn't know how to sing. We're getting him singing lessons.
Yes,
like that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just retarded because you go, it's a horrible word, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's safe today. Trump's president. You can say retarded again. it's like one of those things that you sit back and go, God, he's so right. And someone had to say it.
Yeah.
You know, because the end of the day, I've had the experiences with artists that have come through that have never played with a full band before mm-hmm. until they step foot on the stage. And they asked if they can use our place to rehearse for 4 hours. And I'm like, wow, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, I haven't ran into any artists that I know of personally or that, that I've met that have been, part of that.
I will share one with you after this.
Okay, perfect. I understand the fact of wanting, an immediate audience for those record labels. But to me, I think I'd much rather take the grassroots guy who's busted his ass making a fan base for himself.
You know what the analogy is to that?
What's that?
Winning the lottery.
Yeah.
You going to work for it or you're just going to have it handed to you?
Exactly.
And that's the difference. Lily Rose said something to me. It was really rad back in the day.
I love Lily.
She was working, I want to say at a golf course in the restaurant thing or something like that.
Yep.
And then her single.
Was this before she worked at Opry Mills?
Might have been after.
Gotcha.
Might have been after.
Because I think she worked at Opry Mills for a minute.
She said that she walked in, her single went nuts, and she walked in these rooms, and all the people were like, were we nice to you?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Because they all golfed at the same course.
Yeah.
And she worked there. Yeah. That's right.
That's pretty nuts to think. That's the other side of it. She goes viral via social. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's sitting in front of the people that she was serving. And their first question is, was I nice to you?
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking sad.
Fuck
all those fucking record reps.
I will say, I feel like that is tough. If you have to ask yourself if you're nice to someone.
Yeah.
I mean, I always feel like I always try to put out as much kindness in the world as possible.
I have that bag that was in my car. It says, be kind. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It literally is.
Yeah.
It's the neatest thing in the world.
What you put out into this world is what you return. And I've always been full hearted on that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So rest of the year, we've got some new music coming out. That's your focus.
Yep.
Are you going to get on the road some more?
Oh yeah. Yep. We got a lot of shows, a lot of fly dates coming out. I'm been trying to get down into the south section again because I think we did Florida last year, Georgia, Kentucky, and obviously Nashville. Like when we get back on Monday, we have a full band showcase in Nashville.
But, showcase for?
It's called Losers Live.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just down there off of, Winners and Losers.
Yep.
It's down at Losers. My buddy Austin, he called us up and wanted us to come on, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah.
I love playing full band in Nashville, especially playing your own songs in Nashville.
That's even better.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a couple good friends who are going to come out to that. A couple people, I think one person from the Neil Agency is coming out.
Nice.
Yeah.
That
should be good.
Well, hopefully something kicks. Do you ever find yourself, though, Clayton Shea?
Sounds familiar.
He's a writer, has some stuff. I've done a couple shows with him. He just went on this writer's retreat. Probably wrong, but maybe in Ohio, but they went on a duck hunt.
Oh, nice.
And Dusty Black was there, and there's a couple other people there, which it looked pretty neat. It was pretty thick. Do you ever see yourself doing stuff like that?
Writer's retreats?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'd love to. Yeah. I always feel bad because it's like a couple of my friends have went out on writer's retreats and it just doesn't match up. Cause it's like,
it's a date.
It is a date. Yeah. Like you have to schedule those in advance. You know what I mean? And especially if you're doing it with five other riders or however many, because I know some of them, like my buddy Gabe, he's went on a couple that there's like nine of them. They go out there and then they write, they write three songs a day.
Yeah.
But no, I'd love to do them. I'm sure I'll be hopping in on one of them.
Yeah, I want to see you go like do Tim Montana style and just hang half your body out of a helicopter and shoot wild boar.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I know Bracken's done it.
Well, so is Tim. I've seen the videos.
We should call them both up and get it happening.
Dude, careful what you wish for. Might be happening. Dude, I appreciate the time today. This was so much fun. Tell people how to find you online.
Thank you, Toad. It was a pleasure. Carver Lewis Music on everything. And that's how you find me.
What's the name of your next single? And then we're out of here.
Oh, my gosh. It's called Burns.
Burns. You heard it here first. Thanks again for the time.
Appreciate you.